Thanks, Adrian. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. I'm just going to turn this off because I've got a double mic going there. Okay, so last Sunday, if you weren't here, just a little catch up with that. We had we focused on the same passage, but today we're looking at the wider meaning of this passage and what John intended when he wrote it. A key verse from this passage is our verse for the year. And we've taken that on board for our congregation, through our leadership and with our vestry. And that verse for us is, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me." We had an amazing example of that with Wendy, just the testimony with the little note that she found tucked up on the skirting board there in her house. And she obeyed, and blessing came. We spoke last week about the Middle Eastern understanding of what shepherds were and how shepherds worked and how that contrasts to New Zealand, where we look at sheep as a commodity, whereas in the Middle East, it's a one-on-one relationship. So the shepherds know the sheep individually and the sheep recognize the shepherds individually. It's quite different from our understanding of what a shepherd is in New Zealand or a farmer. We spoke about the importance of making time to hear God's voice. Jesus himself did that in his ministry. Regularly went away to hear the Father's voice. And also going away for 40 days into the wilderness. And we spoke about the tools to do that with, the daily rhythms of worship and devotion, the prayer book. If you'd like a prayer book, then just come and ask us, Heidi or myself, and we can loan you one of our prayer books, and you can take it home and use it. And last year in our house church, someone thought, "Oh, I want to start doing that." And as far as I know, they still do it, and it made a big difference in their life, having that regular time of devotion to God and hearing God's voice, and setting themselves aside for God. After all, how do we expect to hear God's voice if we're not going to be still and take ourselves away from the busyness and craziness of this world? Today we look at the wider purpose, as I said, of this passage. And the key verse for this is verse 16. It's Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, "I have other sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen," or sheepfold, as some versions say. "I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice." They too will listen to my voice. Now, Barclay, commentator, one of my favorite commentators, he said one of the hardest things to unlearn for us is exclusiveness. One of the hardest things for us to learn. Once the people get the idea that they are privileged, and folks, we are privileged. We don't always realize this. Once we get the idea that we are privileged and we are different from other people, it's very difficult for them to understand that those privileges they believe in are not for them only, but are for others. In fact, for all people in this world. Now the good news, is that this doctrine of inclusiveness is a doctrine that is very, very popular in the secular world. And it's a doctrine that we share with the secular world. So it's something we can say very, very, very proudly, in a good way, that actually, guys, we do this. And truly, the church, the true church of God, is one that is irrespective of gender, irrespective of race, it calls all of us together as a family of God. This is quite radical. And is a witness to the God who we worship, who is an inclusive God. He desires that none of us should perish. Jesus, in this passage, is in effect, he's contrasting his spiritual leadership with the exclusive leadership of the Pharisees. And it's one of the common themes of the New Testament is the exclusiveness of the Pharisees and the inclusiveness of Christ. We've explored that before. The Pharisees, who, if you remember, were making judgments on Jesus by the company that he kept. In Luke 15, they muttered, which is a euphemism for they moaned, and I could use something more impolite. They moaned about this man. This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. But before we become self-righteous about this, remember the strict food laws of Leviticus 11. They forbade Jews to eat anything unclean, which the Gentiles regularly did, the non-Jews regularly did. Some teachers believed that just being with the Gentiles, let alone eating with them, which is a sign of social intimacy, would render a holy man unclean. Jesus, who is breaking these rules and disregarding them, they were asking the question, how could he really be holy? How could he really be holy? And Psalm 1 talks about, blessed are those who don't go in the ways of sinners or walk in the ways of sinners and sit with mockers. So you get the idea. It's not, we can't judge the Pharisees because there is an aspect of that that affects us as well. That exclusiveness we need to be aware of. The world believes there's nothing worse, the secular world believes there's nothing worse than being exclusive to others who are different from ourselves. Now, the good news, and I spoke about that, is that this doctrine we share with that world. Now, if we look at the Old Testament, there's more good news. The Old Testament also has the same understanding of God and who God is. And if we look at the great prophet, Isaiah, whom Jesus was incredibly inspired by. He said this, or one of the Isaiahs, there were three of them, but one of the Isaiahs said this, and he's speaking to Israel, I will make you a light to the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and release those in the dungeon who sit in darkness. Now, does you recognize that bit of scripture? Jesus started his ministry with this scripture in Luke. He read this. Isaiah 49:6, I will make you, Israel, the light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. There are over 3 billion Christians in the world today. So Isaiah's prophecy has, in fact, borne a lot of fruit. And there are other bits of scripture in Isaiah 56:8, etc., etc. Now, okay, you say, well, that's fine, Ian. What about the Canaanite woman? The Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. You remember, she comes up because her daughter is suffering from an unclean spirit. So she comes up and she pleads with him. She's a Canaanite. She's non-Jewish. Jesus ignores her. You remember this? Jesus ignores her. And she pleads for her daughter. And he replies, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. So how does this sit with being a light to the Gentiles? And Jesus himself saying, I'm only sent to the Jews. Well, any of us who are in leadership know, if you don't narrow your objectives in a business or in a school, or in whatever business you're involved with, or even in a church, and you try to please everyone, you please no one. So any leader worth their salt will narrow down what your focus is. And Jesus did that exactly. And lo and behold, what happened is the baton was passed on after the resurrection to Paul. He took that baton to the Gentiles and exploded. The Christian faith exploded amongst the Roman world, or the Roman Empire. Jesus did nothing what the Father showed him to do. He was obedient to that still quiet voice. So in summary, here's a quote for you. The church is the only club that exists for the benefit of its non-members. You've heard this quote before? Who said this? 9 o'clock has got it. It was Archbishop William Temple. Archbishop William Temple in the UK. He was the only archbishop whose father also was an archbishop, but he was also, he laid the foundations for the social welfare state. I admire him hugely, but he said this, we're the only club that exists for the benefit of our non-members. Isn't that cool? They're not exclusive. The church should never be exclusive. So what does that mean to us? Well, we spoke about the discipleship survey last week. Some of you weren't here, but we had some results from that. One of our weaknesses was we lack confidence in the gospel and the power of the gospel. We need to gain confidence in the gospel. Gossip the gospel amongst one another. Encourage one another in faith. Now, one of our ways and means of encouraging one another in faith is coming on the Church Away weekend on the 12th. Sign up for it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Ryan, I've got a job for you as well. I think you'll like it. There's downtime, so we'll have a lot of good time together. As I said, there is a brewery tour. Maybe. Yeah, if you accept it. Your mission if you accept it. Also, there's a golf club down the road where I learned to play golf. So see if you can beat me at golf. All right, there's lots of things. There's cafe tour. There's maybe a ladies' walk. My wife mentioned that. So there's going to be a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff for the youth. Water slides, yoo-hoo. I'm sure there'll be water fights. Games and so forth, but also some really good teaching on having confidence in the gospel. That's important for us. If we're not going to dwindle and die as a church, we've got to have confidence in what we believe in. Yeah? And encouraging one another in faith is an important aspect of that. So, there's three principles, and really short principles I want to look at. The first principle is it's God's work. It's not ours. We partake in it, but it is essentially it's God's work. Wendy found that out, that it's God who increases. If we have to bear the burden of growing a church, oh my goodness, I would be a nervous wreck. It's God's church. It's God's work. Understanding this frees us to relax and enjoy our faith, to listen for God's voice, to obey God's voice. We simply partner with Him. The second point or principle, it's about relationships. Now, a lot of us in our mind, we have this crazy understanding of people who go out and, you know, pester people with Bibles in their hands. You couldn't be further from the truth. Modern day sharing of faith is quite, quite different. I'm not saying it's obsolete, but I'm saying how we work here is quite different. It's based on relationships. People see God at work within us. If we spend time with God every day, then God will be there with us always. He will anyway, but we're more conscious of the God presence within us. And as that happens, then people are more conscious of the God presence in us as well. I remember when I was working for the Bible Society in Australia, I was directing a theatre company around Australia. And so we toured and lived with people all around Australia and did this show in schools and churches and so forth. And we had a break. I went down to Tasmania. And I was in this sort of evangelism mood, and I got this ride. I was hitching. I used to hitch a lot. And I got this ride, and I thought, I've got to share the gospel with this person. And I got in their car. It was an H.R. Holden, a Vietnam Australian. And this guy was, he had his army fatigues on because he was from the army, this young guy. And he was like a block of wood. I remember thinking, how can I share God's goodness with this guy? And I said, so what do you do? He said, I'm in the army. I said, what do you do in the army? I kill people. End of conversation. Now, when I was in Hobart, I went away for a, I don't know if you know Tassie, it was beautiful. And I went away and stayed in a lake in a hut in the middle of winter. There was snow on the ground, little wallabies and stuff. And I just read the Bible and spent time with God. And hitching back, I got this ride with this person, and I wasn't even thinking that. And he started pouring out his life to me. It was kind of like God was showing me that it's his work. And we're asked to partner with him in that work. And it's about relationships. We spoke about that. Wendy and developing the relationships, identifying a person of peace who's got friends, who brings them along and say, hey, this is good news. Listen to this. These are good people. And it grows from there. People of peace, identify them. Don't waste our time with people who aren't interested in the gospel. Now, that's got a flip side. Some people are actually antagonistic towards the gospel. Something deep is going on within them. And you will know those sort of people at work. Yeah? Any nods of heads there? People who are antagonistic towards the gospel? There might be a deeper, chances are there's a deeper thing going on within them. And they might also probably have baggage as well. But God does work through and identify people of peace who respond favorably to the gospel. And we invest in them. The third thing, and the last thing, is we are, the church here, are here to help you. And this is our vision. If you look at this, we are a church and we are sent. If you look on your bookmark, this is our vision as a church. A faithful Christian whānau restoring wholeness and hope as we serve and strengthen our community in Karori and Makara. We've got a number of these groups that are bubbling up at the moment. And it's a slow burn. It's not a quick thing. Wendy's got a great team around her. And she's identified a need in Karori, a need of people who are disconnected and lonely. One thing we will be doing into the next quarter is I've got a great resource from Tear Fund. They get together, got fun activities where you identify what the needs of your wider parish are. Now, we're privileged here as an Anglican church in that we have a geographical area called the wider parish, whom we have an obligation to. In England, a vicar would have been given responsibility for the care of the souls of all in that parish. We as a church have a responsibility for the care of those in Karori Parish. This is our parish. This is God's parish. So identify needs, as Wendy did, as others are doing as well, is one of the first steps in thinking, well, how can God meet that need through us? And we've got these little missional communities bubbling up. So, how can we do this? Well, there's two ways. We've got parish-based church events. Like we've got the fair this afternoon. Invite your friends along to it. We've got great events here at church. I mean, it's not all about events, but the events that we do have, and they happen every year, are very good. The services, dare I say, are good. Dare I say. The 9 o'clock, more traditional service, is fantastic. We've got a beautiful choir. So for those of you whose friends are not so much into, well, they don't have family or more quiet and contemplative, you might want to invite them to the 9 o'clock service, which runs very well, I must add. I would not be embarrassed to invite my friends to the 9 o'clock service. I would not be embarrassed to invite my friends to this service, though I am biased, of course. Guys, we are a good church. We are a good church, and we do things well here. The fair is a lot of fun. So taste and see that the Lord is good. The fair is good. Shrove Tuesday, on Tuesday, of course, this Tuesday, Smash Club, Shrove Tuesday. All the parents, a lot of parents come. It's at 5 o'clock, and it's in the playground. Come and join in. get to know parents. If you're an extrovert, it's easy. If you're an introvert, it's not so easy. Bring a friend who is an extrovert. A marriage course. We're looking at, there's people who want to do a marriage course, and there's a marriage prep that we're looking at doing with a couple shortly. And we want to invite other people to that. So that date is to be announced. A fish and chip evening, we get 60 to 100 people here. Here, a lot of them are EC parents. It's a great time for their kids. Got a bouncy castle. We've got fish and chips, of course, and beer and wine. Parish dinner. Great chance to invite your friends to the themed parish dinner in July 3rd. And, of course, the Alpha course, which we have ongoing every year. We have two house churches supporting the Alpha course and running like a missional community where they meet for meals every month and invite their friends too. So you too can invite friends along to that missional community and bring them. The Nativity, again this year, 9 lessons and carols, Easter services. People still come to Christmas and Easter services. Last year, we had 100 people at the midnight service. The next day, we had 300 at the 10 o'clock service. A lot of you weren't even here because you were elsewhere. But I tell you, these people coming up for communion, they didn't know what to do, which I thought was fabulous. There is still a hunger out there, guys. There is still a hunger out there for the good news of the gospel. So we have two ways of supporting you with going out. One of them is the events we have here in the church already, the services. The other is we have missional communities that are bubbling up and starting. People going out into the community and bringing the good news with them. You guys are most welcome to be involved in all of those. Just a reminder, to do all of this, we really need to accept the invitation of the Good Shepherd, the winsome, lovely Shepherd, who invites us to spend time with Him alone, where He will speak to us, and we are called to obey His promptings. That is the basis for all we do, because it is God's work, not ours. Taste and see that the Lord is good. From the Psalms. Amen.